Blog Talk Radio.
Good day, students. Welcome to our
Bless you, students. Welcome to our lesson summary review for today. Today we're on session 3 of the course Bible Ethics. This is one of our associate's degree in Christian theology programs. And we're going to be covering the lesson review, which will deal with the subject of what God wants you to be and do. Now, this session will help us to identify 4 ways God uses to show his children how to live a life that pleases him. And as we always do, we're going to take time to prepare our hearts and minds through our prayer. And I hope that you have been submitting yourself to times of personal devotion. This is very important that we not just get the head knowledge of what the Bible teaches us, but we also must gain the heart knowledge by expressing it in a true relationship with God. So it is very important that you devote as much time to personal devotion as possible. And also remember that for our network training center directors, that we're not here just to dispense information about God and his word. We have the responsibility to draw our students into God's word. And we pray that the lessons, your studies will help draw you closer to God and will help you to hear a personal word from God. For he wants that personal relationship with each and every one of us. So let's seek God in prayer even now as we prepare to study and teach this week's lesson. Father, we thank you, we praise you, we give you glory and honor. We ascribe worth to you, for you alone are worthy of all the praise, all the honor, and the glory. I thank you for every staff and member and student of Grace Bible College and Seminary, all of our alumni, as well as those who are listening to these lessons around the world. We pray that you will reveal yourself to us, Father. Help us by your Spirit to live a life that's pleasing to you. Help draw us closer into a personal relationship with you in which we can hear your voice and we can obey your word. So we thank you for it even now. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Again, students, I welcome you to our lesson summary review. Today, we're covering session 3 of the course Bible Ethics, and this session is dealing with what God wants you to be and do. So I pray that you have your study guide and your note-taking materials with you as we go through the major heading for this week's lesson. There are 4 major headings that this lesson would have us to review with you. And the first one is this, that God has given a conscience to help you, a conscience to help you. That is one of the first things we're going to talk about. Second thing we're going to review is the Bible is given to guide you. Thirdly, we have a Savior to show you. And the fourth heading that we'll discuss today is that the Holy Spirit is here to lead you. So let's think about this week's lesson about what God wants you to be and to do. And I like to explain that learning to live the Christian life is similar to learning how to ride a bicycle. You actually cannot just learn to ride a bike by listening to somebody's instructions about it. You actually have to get on the bicycle and practice riding it. And so we must learn also to live a Christian life by putting the things that we have learned or what we're being instructed about into practice in our personal lives. This is how we must each use these lessons for life application in order to be what God wants us to be and in order to do what God wants us to do. Now, let me ask you this question. How did you make important decisions before receiving Christ as your Savior? And I want you to write down some of the responses that come to your mind on a blank sheet of paper. Some of you may have written down before you knew Christ, you may consult your horoscope. Some people may have asked their therapist or talked to a counselor. Some people may list that they used to talk with friends, or perhaps asking your boyfriend or girlfriend or your spouse even if they were not a believer. So we ask this question because before we came to know Christ, we had very limited resources from which we could ask about the important decisions that we could make. But as we now are learning to live in this life that Christ has for us, we know that we need to make decisions in a new way. We cannot simply just rely on our previous resources. And the way that we make decisions now must take God into account, take God's will and take God's word into account as we make decisions. So let's take a look at that first major heading that we're going to talk about this week is a conscience to help you. Our first objective asks us to define conscience and describe its role in helping you live a life pleasing to God. Now, I'd like to note the two points that need to be made in this section are, first, that the conscience, even that of a Christian, is not a reliable guide for conduct and for knowing God's will. And secondly, we need to make note that the Christian must keep his conscience clear. So even though we have a conscience to help us, we're going to learn this session, we realize that the conscience is not the sole source. It is simply there to quicken or convict or convince us of actions we should take. So let's look at a definition of conscience. If you were to refer to page 44 in your study guide, you can see several statements that were mentioned about conscience. Now, according to the Evangelical Dictionary of Theology, conscience is a moral awareness. A moral awareness. So I'd like to comment that the word conscience does not appear in the Old Testament, but the idea of conscience or moral awareness is expressed instead by the term heart. Now, with that being said, let me ask you this question. When was the first time someone in the Bible expressed a sense of guilt? Well, if we were to take a look at Genesis chapter 20, we'll see that it was when Adam and Eve hid themselves from God after they had disobeyed him. There may be some other Old Testament examples that you can see were troubled by a guilty conscience, which is Joseph, and that's from that scripture reference that I just gave you from Genesis 20, verse 4 through 5. So we can see in the Old Testament example, the example of Adam and Eve had a guilty conscience when they knew they had sinned without anyone outside of themselves mentioning it to them, and they hid themselves from God. And then the second one was Joseph's brothers, when they realized that he recognized them after they had sold him off as a slave. They experienced a guilty conscience. So we see in the Old Testament example that the conscience is there to bring things to convict and convince us of something that we've erred in or something we've done wrong. If you were to be made aware of the American story of Pinocchio, he had a friend named Jimmy the Cricket, and he would say these words, "Always let your conscience be your guide." So let me ask you this question. How reliable is a person's conscience before he or she is saved? Well, the Bible makes two points about conscience. The first point that the Bible makes about conscience is that everyone has one. You can see a reference in Romans chapter 2, verses 14 through 15. And second, we can see that the Bible speaks about conscience is that it is insufficient as a firm principle or guide for moral action, especially for the Christian. Even though your conscience is there to help, to convince, and to convert, and to convict you, that is, it is insufficient as a firm or sole principle or guide for our moral actions. And we're going to understand more about why that is as we study this lesson. There's also something I want to bring to your attention here in this first objective, about a conscience to guide you, a man named Leonard Morris wrote this: "Today, the conscience of an individual is often elevated to the supreme place, and almost any course of action becomes permissible on the grounds that it does not offend one's conscience." So with that statement from Leonard Morris in mind, let's make note of Romans chapter 2, verse 15, which speaks of pagans who have convictions about what they do. The point of that quote and the scripture is that the standard by which one's conscience accuses or defends a person might be in error. And that is why our conscience cannot be the sole guiding principle for our moral decisions. Now, I also like for you to note that the study guide refers to several scripture verses that speak of the importance of a Christian having a clear conscience. So I like to comment that sin or disobeying God or going contrary to God's will distorts our consciences. The more we engage in sinful practices and attitudes, they lead us to spiritual death, and the less sensitive our conscience becomes. Almost as Paul says in Romans that God will eventually turn people over to a reprobate mind to do whatever they thought was right within themselves. So it's very important for us as believers to keep a clear conscience, because our conscience can be cleansed and quickened only by the blood of Jesus Christ. You can see this example in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. You can see an example of how your conscience can be cleansed and quickened by the blood of Christ. That is important because a cleansed conscience is free of sin's defilement and is able to respond to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. So if we... So if we find ourselves falling into sin, we'll soon find ourselves being separated from that consciousness with which will convict us and try to convict us in order that we may repent. So always seek God to have a clear conscience. The scriptures teaches us in 1 John that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to cleanse us and forgive us of our sins. So in addition to those things about our conscience, our second major heading talks about we have the Bible to guide us. And the second objective asks us to describe how the Bible is our guide in living a life pleasing to God. Now, if you were to look at the figure at the bottom of page 47 of your study guide, it lists the three things that God provides for us in his word. First thing God provides for us in his word is specific rules. Second, it gives us general principles. And third, it gives us examples of good and bad behavior. Now, when we get to lessons 4 and 5, we will talk more fully about the principles for a life pleasing to God. But for now, I want you to make note of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 to 17. And if you will review those portions of Scripture, I'd like to give the following analysis that you can outline on a blank sheet of paper. As we look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 to 17, we get these 4 points that we can gain from that. Point number 1 is that we see all Scripture. That means we cannot approach the Bible like a smorgasbord, selecting and rejecting what we choose. It is all or nothing. Second thing we gain from that portion of Scripture is the Word of God is God-breathed. That is, it is the infallible and authoritative Word of God himself. It is not man's ideas, man's thoughts, man's conception, the words were inspired. So we see that the Bible is God-breathed. Thirdly, we see that the word useful, that is, it is beneficial or profitable, that is very practical for daily living, as it touches on every aspect of our existence, both in this life and in the one to come. It talks about the fact that it is useful for teaching, that is, to focus us on how to be saved and to live a saved life. It is useful for rebuking, to counteract errors in doctrine and conduct in a spirit of love. The Word of God is also useful in correcting, to point us in the right direction. And fourthly, it lists that God's Word is useful in training in righteousness, to help us live in a way pleasing to God and befitting the station as ambassadors of Jesus Christ. And then it mentions, fourthly, that the man of God, that is the believer, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So students, the more we study God's word, the more we realize how thorough it is. So far we've studied in session 3 of the course Bible Ethics, talking about what God wants you to be and do. We talked about so far that we have a conscience to help us. In our last section, we talked about we have the Bible to help guide us. Now, let's take a look at our third major heading from this lesson review, is we have a Savior to show us. Objective 3 asks us to explain how Jesus is our example as well as our Lord and Savior. So as we begin this section, let me ask this question. How is it possible for us to know the ways of Jesus and to copy them, as 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 admonishes? Now, many people would say, after all, we're just human. So let's talk about some of the following things to consider as we think about this subject. We know that Christ became flesh, or the Word became flesh, or dwelt among us. He was born as a child, just as we are born. So Christ can identify with being human as well as God. That is, he can identify with being subject to the things of the flesh as well as being subject to the Spirit of God. And this is why Jesus is our Savior and Lord and Master, and he can show us. So let's look at four examples of how we can follow Jesus' example. First thing we see is that Christ apparently thought so because he invested 3.5 years training 12 men to carry on his ministry. So he must have thought they were capable of doing what it is he was teaching and training and equipping them to do. Now, we can also recall that he sent out the 12 men on their first missionary assignment after they had been with him only a short time. So we see Jesus expected his disciples to follow his example. A second point we can make about this is that Christ is well aware of our humanity and our tendency towards fear instead of faith, to make excuses for failing and to yield to temptation. So if you will take a look at Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 to 16, it talks about the fact that he can help us to overcome our infirmities and our weaknesses. A third point we can see about a Savior to show us is that Christ is interceding this very moment for each of us, that our faith won't fail and that we will have the victory. You can see a reference for this in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. And a final point that I like to make about this third objective is that Peter's call to believers is not to suffer the agony of the cross, but to deal with adversity and suffering in the same way in which Christ endured and overcame it. So Christ says that he has overcome the world. Even though in this world we will have trials and tribulations, Christ has overcome them. So Peter's prayer was that we as well would overcome the adversities and trials that we face. So that is the third major heading that our lesson talked about. The fourth heading from this lesson review is we have the Holy Spirit to lead us. This fourth objective asks us to describe the work of the Holy Spirit in leading us along the path of a more Christ-like life. So I like to explain that God is determined to change us to be like his son, or to be conformed, as the scriptures say, to be conformed to the image of his son. And so we see that since God desires that we be conformed to the image of his son, he gave us the Holy Spirit to lead us. Because if we were left to our own resources, probably little changing would occur. But fortunately for us, God has given us a helper, the Holy Spirit. You can see a reference for this in John chapter 15, verse 26, as well as John chapter 14, verse 26. Now, we're going to go over an exercise sheet that talks about some of the ways in which the Holy Spirit leads us. So I'm going to try to list some of the scripture references for you, and then we'll give you some of the points that the Holy Spirit tries to help us to accomplish as we meditate upon these scripture verses. Now, one of the things that you're going to notice that if you go to our Facebook page, we usually try to post the exercise sheets on the Facebook page for you to be able to get the scripture references. Also, if you're in the classroom, your network training center director should be to provide you with a copy of the exercise sheet. But here are the scriptures and the responses our study guide gave us. If you look at Mark chapter 13, verse 11, if you make note of John chapter 14, verse 26, John chapter 15, verse 26, John chapter 16, verse 13, Acts chapter 1, verse 2, Acts chapter 9, verse 31, Acts chapter 15, verse 28, you can also make note of Romans chapter 2, verse 29, Romans chapter 12, verse 11. I have 5, 6, 7 more for you. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 40. Also make note of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. Then you can look at Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23. As well as Galatians chapter 5, verse 25, and three more for you. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 17 through 18, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, and finally, take a look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. These are the scripture references that shows us or teaches us how the Holy Spirit leads us. And as you go through those portions of Scripture, you should be able to see that the Holy Spirit tells us what to say. The Holy Spirit teaches us to understand and apply God's Word and reminds us of what we have learned. The Holy Spirit reveals the truth about God and Jesus to us. It guides us into all truth. The Holy Spirit instructs us. It strengthens and encourages us and enlarges the church. The Holy Spirit works within a local assembly of believers. The Holy Spirit regenerates us from within our hearts. The Holy Spirit provides fervor we need for serving the Lord. Number 10, it guides us in our judgments. Prevents us from cursing Jesus, produces Christ's character of love, joy, and peace in us, gives us life, equips us through the word and prayer to fight spiritual battles, and the final thing we see in our lesson is that the Holy Spirit sanctifies us, that is, draws us from sin. So today we've covered the four major headings of our lesson, session three of the course, Bible Ethics. We've talked about what God wants you to be and to do. So in conclusion, students, I'd like to stress that Christ has called us to follow him, to follow his example. So I want you to think of ways in which you are not yet imitating Christ. And I want to encourage you to ask the Holy Spirit to show you what needs to be changed in your lives. The Holy Spirit will not likely show you everything at once, but we can be certain, however, that he will show us an area that needs improvement. Then we must ask God to forgive us and help us change. And I believe that you will be amazed at what you and God can do together. One final thing, make note of Acts chapter 24, verse 16, as you pray for God to help you to improve the areas that need to be changed in your life, and write down on a blank sheet of paper to remind yourself of the area in which you're seeking God to help you change. So today we review session three of the course, Bible Ethics, what God wants you to be and do. I look forward to our next session, students. In the meantime, God bless you and good day.